Well, today I'd like to give you 9 ways to promote vocations in your parish, in your religious ed program, and in your Catholic school. So I hope you'll take good notes. I want to give you 9 ideas. And the way I'm going to do this is use the word vocations and give you 1 idea for every letter in that word. The first letter in vocations is V, and that stands for vision. So you as promoters have to have a vision of what you would like to see accomplished in your parish. Have a goal. As the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. So what is your vision? What is your goal to promote vocations in your parish? Wouldn't it be a wonderful goal that we could each have 10 vocations in every parish over the next 10 years? Wouldn't that be wonderful? That'd be about 700 more priests, 700 religious sisters, brothers. So what is your vision? Have a goal, have a vision for your parish. Realize that God is calling many young men and women to religious life. Vocation is a calling from God. As Father George Rutler said, there's no such thing as a vocation crisis. It's a listening crisis. It's a responding crisis. Father Rutler says, God does not have laryngitis. God continues to call many to the priesthood and religious life. It's a matter of young men and women, perhaps even older men and women, delayed vocations, responding and saying yes to Almighty God. Vocations are a mystery. It is a mystery why God calls some and not others, but your job as a vocation promoter is to help men and women discern their calling, to respond generously, to say yes to God, and to follow the Lord's will for their life, to be like our Blessed Mother, to always say yes, her fiat. So in this first idea, have a vision, have a goal of what you would like to accomplish in your parish. The next letter is O, and that stands for organize. Organize events in your parish, organize activities, retreats, days of recollections. Bring in guest speakers to share their personal testimony, how God called them to the priesthood, to religious life. Bring in some religious sisters. Many of our young girls have never seen a religious sister. Bring them in, have them speak at the parish, or organize events. And these can be occasions of grace in the parish, especially when you can bring them to speak to the young adults group, the high school youth group. Bring them into religious ed classes. Realize that organizing a retreat or a day of recollection is so valuable because it gives our young people the opportunity to spend time in silence. And on retreat and in silence, it's really that's the opportunity, that's the place, that's the time when they will hear God's call. Silence is so important. One of the reasons why we don't have as many vocations in the church today is because there's not enough silence, whether it be in church, at Mass, or our young people are not spending enough time in silence. Because of that, they're not hearing God's call. So silence is so important. It's only prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. Getting to know and love Christ and listening, is He calling me to the priesthood? Is He calling me to the religious life? Growing up as a kid, every November, I went on our Legion of Mary retreat in Malvern, Pennsylvania, beautiful retreat house, St. Joseph's in the Hills. I started when I was 12 years old, and every year, the first weekend in November, I went on retreat. I think this was helpful to me to listen to God's call, to have that time in prayer and silence. As they say, when our angel Gabriel appeared to the Blessed Mother, she didn't have her iPod. She wasn't listening to her iPod. She wasn't listening to the stereo. Our Lady was in prayerful silence, reading Scripture, and that's how she heard God's call in her life. So by organizing retreats and opportunities for our young people to have some silence, they can then listen and hear God's call. Try to encourage your young people in the parish to go to events like Youth 2000 at Mount St. Mary's, or young adults conferences at Steubenville, or the youth and the high school youth conference at Franciscan University of Steubenville. So many of our young people are transformed when they go away to see the power of the Holy Spirit working at Franciscan University. And they're converted. They go to confession. They have a conversion experience with the Holy Spirit. So try to organize your youth groups to go there. Try to take the young people and make visits to Catholic colleges and universities that produce large numbers of vocations. Organize trips out to Christendom. Organize trips to Franciscan University, Steubenville, to Ave Marie in Florida, to Thomas Aquinas, Magdalene, Providence College, University of Dallas, Belmont Abbey. These are the places that are producing lots of vocations to the priesthood and religious life. Encourage your youth ministers to get information about these outstanding Catholic colleges and universities and get our young people to go there. That's how they'll, you know, discover their vocation. When I went to Christendom, when I went there as a freshman back in 1982, before some of you were born, I'm sure, especially Father Matthew over here, one of our newly ordained, did not feel called to the priesthood. I was perhaps going to become a chiropractor or maybe a teacher or a missionary for the Legion of Mary or take over my parents' religious goods stores, the bookstores. But when I was at Christendom, that's when I heard God's call. I was spending time in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. I would, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I made a holy hour. And it was during that time at Christendom, with the theology classes, the history classes, the philosophy classes, the wonderful priests that were there helped me to discern the calling. And spending time before the Blessed Sacrament was so valuable. In fact, Father Fasano just walked in. He used to come out and visit the college. He once gave a talk on vocations. I recorded it and made hundreds of copies of that tape, and it went all over the country. And whenever Father would come out, we would take our walks and say the rosary, and he'd help me discern whether God was calling me to the priesthood. So try to organize our young people to go visit Steubenville, Ave Maria, Christendom, these other Catholic colleges, and to realize that it often is in college that God will give a young man or a young woman a calling to the priesthood or religious life. And even on some of the secular campuses now, some of them have excellent campus ministries. Focus, as you know, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students is in now dozens and dozens of colleges and universities throughout the country, and they are getting so many vocations from their volunteers as well as from the young people that they serve. So these things are great to promote. I would also encourage you to organize programs in your parish, such as the Vocation Crucifix or the Vocation Chalice. Talk to your pastor, and the Vocation Crucifix or Vocation Chalice travels to a family a week. And what we have done over the years is we bring up a family right at the end of Mass. We say a prayer. We give them the crucifix or the chalice. They take it home, and they say prayers every day during the week while that sacramental is in their home. So I would encourage you to do that and try to organize holy hours for vocations and try to give talks in the high school youth group, in your Catholic schools, and in your religious ed programs so you can go in and give a talk on vocations. The next letter in vocations is C, and that stands for having contact with priests, religious sisters, and seminarians. It's so important to have young people get to know priests, get to know religious sisters, get to know seminarians. I always tell people, invite a priest over for dinner. It's the best time to bless your house is at dinner time, I tell people. That's why 4 or 5 nights a week I have dinners with different families, just to be able to bless their home, to do their Sacred Heart enthronement, to visit with the parents, with the kids, to give them brown scapulars or miraculous medals or pictures of Jesus and Mary, the Sacred of the Immaculate Heart, to evangelize the family while you're having dinner, to that contact with a priest or religious sister or seminarians can be very helpful. Growing up in Philadelphia, we had a very close priest friend of ours, Father Lindacki, who's now 75 years old, but still a pastor in Philadelphia. And he would come to our house for dinner every Christmas, every Easter. His parents had passed away. And so just by having him come over for dinner a number of times a year, 4th of July cookouts, other opportunities, I think this was very influential for me as well, to get to talk to a priest, ask questions, and to think, well, the Lord, maybe he's calling me to this vocation. So try to have arranged contact with priests, religious sisters, and seminarians. Get the kids to go to trips to the seminary. Take the altar boys to trips up to Mount St. Mary's or St. Charles to get to meet seminarians, to have a meal with them, to play some sports with them, to get a tour of the seminary, to attend Mass, to attend morning prayer or evening prayer, to see what it's like to live in the seminary. I know your vocation office, Father Bashisa, does this. He takes the young men to the seminary. He also does the nun runs. Some of you are familiar with those. Taking the young women to the Poor Clares, to the Nashville Dominicans, to the Daughters of St. Paul. See, this is important, to have the young girls that have contact with those that are living out this beautiful vocation of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And then you want to encourage your young people in your parish to join organizations that have contact with the clergy and the religious life. For example, the Junior Legion of Mary. I joined when I was 10 years old. I've been in now for 36 years. I started the Legion in every parish I've ever been in, at Christendom, at the seminary, and in each parish. And the Legion produces vocations to the priesthood and to the religious life. In the Philippines, they say 90% of all the young men and women that became priests and nuns in the Philippines were in the Junior Legion of Mary growing up. And some religious orders, the parish visitors, also say the same thing, that almost every one of their sisters was in the Legion of Mary before they became a religious sister. To try to start and encourage our young people to join organizations that will promote vocations. The Challenge Club for girls, the Conquest Club for the boys, the Youth Apostles, other youth groups. See if you can get these kids to do apostolic work, to visit nursing homes, to visit the elderly, to go to work camp, to be involved in youth groups. It can help them to discern their vocation. And for our young adults, many parishes have excellent young adults groups and Theology on Tap that can also bring our young people and young adults into contact with priests, religious sisters, and seminarians. The next letter in vocations is A, and that stands for advertise. So your job as a promoter is to advertise vocations. Put up the posters, that wonderful poster, the picture of all the seminarians. Make sure that's in the hallways of your churches. Put up other signs, such as pray for vocations. At Our Lady of Angels in Woodbridge, where I was assigned for 4 years, as you walk from the vestibule into the church, there's a sign, pray for vocations. And they've had dozens of vocations to the priesthood and religious life in the last 30 years from that one parish. So talk to your pastor. Maybe he would put up a sign very simply saying, pray for vocations. It can do a lot of good when thousands of people every weekend see that sign and are reminded to pray. Try to get bulletin boards with pictures of your young men and young women from the parish that are now in the seminary or pursuing religious life. We have that right down the hall. You might have seen it. 4 young men and women from our parish are now studying for the priesthood or religious life. By seeing their pictures, we put it right outside the altar server room so the servers see that as they go in. Again, this vocation poster is very good. And we have it in our altar server room. And underneath, we have a sign saying, one day, your photo may be here. So the altar boys see that before they, as they're getting vested to serve Mass. We also have a few other signs. I'm sure you've seen this one here, right? The only ones to leave the Last Supper early was Judas. See that? That's one of our little signs. It's not a humorous sign, but it does make a good point. And in the restrooms over the baby changing tables, there's a quote from St. Paul. It says, we may not sleep, but we shall all be changed. So all the moms that are stressed out trying to change the baby, they look up and they smile and whenever they see that sign from Scripture. So make use of the altar server room. We're blessed at our parish. We have 150 altar boys at our parish. At all of our Sunday Masses, we have an average between 12 and 24 altar boys serving every Sunday Mass. I let them all serve. We start them right after they make First Communion, and we have they wear the black cassocks with the white surplice. The older ones, the MCs, they wear the red cassock and the white surplice. So the altar server room is very helpful to put the vocation poster there, to put pictures of some of the great saints for young people, St. Dominic Savio, St. John Birchman, St. Aloysius Gonzaga, St. Maria Goretti. These saints, these heroes, these great missionaries and martyrs for the faith can inspire our young people to also pursue religious life. The annual altar server picnic, great thing to promote. The bishop's there, the priests are there, there's some sports and activities. And then the Quo Vadis program. As you know, Father Bautista can give you information on how that works, a great way to help young people discern their vocation. The next letter in vocations is T, and that stands for trust. The idea is that work as hard as you can, but let God do the rest. As a saintly old priest at my parish, Holy Savior in Norristown, used to say, do your best and God will do the rest. So your job as a promoter is to do your very best and God will do the rest. So we have to trust. Trust in the Lord. Trust in His Holy Mother. So work hard as you can to promote vocations. As St. Francis of Sales, work as if everything depended on you, but pray as if everything depended on God. So consecrate your ministry to our Blessed Mother and to St. Therese, the little flower. She said she would do more good from heaven than she did on earth. So realize this spirituality of complete trust is the spirituality of St. Therese, this childlike confidence in God, our Heavenly Father. So the great saints of trust were, of course, St. Therese, the little flower, St. Faustina of the Divine Mercy, St. Louis, Marie de Montfort of the great True Devotion fame, who wrote the book, The True Devotion, who asked us to consecrate ourselves to Jesus through Mary, and to renew our baptismal vows and promises. So complete trust. So your job as a vocation promoter is to work as hard as you can and trust completely in the Lord and His Blessed Mother. The next letter is I. And that stands for invite young men and women to consider religious life. You as a promoter should give that personal invitation. If you see a young man or a young woman coming to church, maybe daily Mass, or doing Eucharistic holy hours, invite them to consider the priesthood or religious life. Give them that personal invitation. Ask them, have they ever thought about becoming a priest? Have they ever thought about becoming a religious sister? So plant those seeds. That's your job, to plant those seeds. Ask them this question. What do you think God wants you to do with your life? That's better than saying, what do you want to do with your life? What do you think God wants you to do with your life? Have you ever asked God that question? God, reveal to me what you want me to do with my life. And then encourage them to be open to God's will, as our Blessed Mother was, to be open to say yes to that invitation if they're called. The next letter is O. And that stands for order the materials for your parish, for your school. In fact, you only have to order them. Just go over and pick them up right over there. The holy cards, the prayer cards, the pamphlets for the pamphlet racks. Make sure that in your church they're well stocked with the holy cards of the St. Therese Society, both in English and in Spanish, information about St. John Vianney, information about the year of the priest, the beautiful prayer cards to discern a vocation, the holy cards, the information about Quo Vadis and the other information there. So order these materials. Make sure that you keep them well stocked in your parish and in your religious ed programs and in the schools. Don't forget about your Catholic schools. Make sure they have pamphlet racks over there for the kids as well. There's videos, there's DVDs. Father Carafi's conversion testimony is very powerful, especially at the end when he invites young men to pursue the priesthood. It's a very powerful CD. You can get it from the Mary Foundation for about 50 cents a piece when you order large quantities. If you notice at our church in the vestibules, we have lots of pamphlet racks because we wanted the vestibule to be really adult education, and catechesis would be taking place where people could pick up the booklets, the pamphlets, the CDs from Catholic Lighthouse, as well as from the Mary Foundation, not only in the vestibule, but if you go down the hallways, you can't escape our church without going past a pamphlet rack. Whether you go out by the Adoration Chapel or by the back door for CCD, there are pamphlet racks with a Knights of Columbus booklets, as well as CDs. The next letter is N, and that stands for nurture the vocations that we already have. Write to the seminarians, keep in touch with your seminarians, spiritually adopt them, pray for them each day. Encourage them in their pursuit of the priesthood and the young women in pursuit of religious life. Send them spiritual bouquets with the number of rosaries and sacrifices and holy hours and masses that you're offering for them. And it doesn't hurt to send them care packages as well. It doesn't hurt to get some chocolate chip cookies. It doesn't hurt to send a few goodies their way as well. Nurture their vocations. We live in a sinful world, a materialistic, hedonistic, neo-pagan world. Think of the story of the rich young man. It says he went away sad because he had many possessions. He was called to the priesthood. He was called to become a disciple, one of the apostles perhaps. But he walked away because he was too attached to the things of this world, the materialism. To many of our young men and women that are being called, their vocation is being choked out due to the materialism, or the hedonism of the paganism of our modern society. So do what you can to protect the innocence of your young people, your own children, your grandchildren. Be careful of what they watch on television or the movies or the internet. Make sure you have the parental block so bad things cannot show up on the computer. So try to protect the innocence of your children, your grandchildren. If you can protect their purity, their innocence, they will be able to respond generously to God's call to the priesthood and religious life. And so then also, just as the last point under nurturing, encourage your priests, your associate pastors, your deacons, your religious sisters that maybe work in your parish, encourage them. Because in this day and age, obviously there's lots of anti-Catholicism out there, anti-clericalism, so encourage them during this year of the priest. And lastly, the S in vocation stands for supplication, prayer. I saved the most important point for last, supplication. Prayer is the most important way to get vocations. Jesus says, the harvest is rich, but the laborers are scarce. He says, pray that the Lord of the harvest will bring about a great number of workers for the vineyard. So Jesus gives us the answer to the vocation crisis. It is prayer. A holy hour a week before the Blessed Sacrament. As a vocation promoter, I invite you and encourage you to spend 1 hour a week before the Blessed Sacrament, making a holy hour for vocations to the priesthood and religious life from your own parish. Now, many people do one holy hour a day, like Bishop Sheen, a holy hour each day. Many priests in our diocese and around the world make the daily holy hour, 1 hour a day, before the Blessed Sacrament. There was a woman in England named Mrs. Vaughan. She had, I believe, 5 sons. She made a holy hour every day for vocations to the priesthood among her sons. Well, from what I remember, all 5 became priests. I think a couple became bishops, 1 became an archbishop. But because she prayed before the Blessed Sacrament, God bestowed special graces upon her children. try to promote Eucharistic adoration. Adoration chapels throughout the diocese are present, many of them, different deaneries. Adoration chapels will produce vocations. Look at St. Michael's, where Father Fasano was, Monsignor Skinnell. How many vocations came out of that adoration chapel? It's been going on now for, 30 years, I believe, of Eucharistic adoration. Our Lady of Angels has an adoration chapel. So many other parishes that are producing lots of vocations, they have adoration chapels. Again, adoration chapels are valuable because they get ourselves in there praying for vocations, and they get our young people discerning their vocations. When they sit there in silence before the Blessed Sacrament, they'll discern their vocation. So supplication, prayer, the Holy Rosary. As a promoter, you should be saying your rosary every day for vocations to the priesthood and religious life. The Chaplet of Divine Mercy only takes a few minutes every day. You can say that for vocations in our diocese and throughout the country and throughout the world. Many of you, perhaps, say the Liturgy of the Hours. Pray the Liturgy of the Hours. And realize also that God not only is calling young men and women, but sometimes he's calling what we call delayed vocations, older men and women to the priesthood and religious life. Many of my friends went to Holy Apostle Seminary up in Connecticut for delayed vocations. We called it Holy Fossil Seminary. So realize that it's never too late. Look at Father Jack Fullen. He helps me out. He was married for 25 years. When his wife died, he became a priest. And he's been helping me and Father Gould over at St. Raymond's. And that was his vocation. His was a delayed vocation. So pray for families. Families need to be strong in the faith. They're the seedbed for vocations. The families are the domestic church, the cell of the church and society. When the family is strong, devout Catholic families produce vocations to the priesthood and religious life. Pray for parents that they will be generous in allowing their young men and women, their sons and daughters, to pursue religious life. Father Gould always reminds us to pray for the siblings, pray for the brothers and sisters of these young men and women that are called, because they, too, are an important role in encouraging their brother or sister to pursue religious life. So holy families will produce vocations, families of sacrifice, of generosity, of openness to life. I forget which priest talked about it. Maybe it was Father Paul Marx. He said the vocation crisis really is due to contraception. So many families in the last 30, 40 years using contraception instead of the larger Catholic families that we used to have of 4, 5, 6, 8 kids, the families are now 1, 2, or 3 children. And because of that, you're losing the possibility of more vocations, especially when, you know, parents maybe only have 1 or 2 children and they may not want them to pursue religious life. Maybe they want the family name to be passed on. I've had parents tell me this. So openness to life, living humani vitae, living the church's teaching on faith and morals will produce vocations. I think of my own parents, how they every morning, they got up for daily mass at 6:30 in the morning, went to daily mass. My dad kept the holy hour each day, and involvement in the Legion of Mary, their example. So I think that was a great inspiration to me, my involvement with the Legion of Mary, going to Christendom, my parents' example. So never underestimate the power of the example of you as parents and as grandparents to pray every day. My mom and dad still, in their 80s, go to daily mass before they go to the Catholic shop and run the store. So what a great example they are to me. And so realize the power of example. So these are the 9 ways to promote vocations to the priesthood and religious life. Again, in your schools, in your religious ed programs. And don't forget about the religious ed kids. Try to have guest speakers go in and talk to them. We have 1,600 kids in CCD in our parish, 1,600. Last year we had 360 make First Communion, 200 got confirmed. Some of these religious ed programs are huge. Are we reaching the kids in the religious ed programs? And of course our Catholic schools, trying to get in to there to do talks and presentations or show them a video about a saint. So these are some of the ways that we could promote vocations to the priesthood and religious life. So let's say a prayer together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray now for a large harvest of vocations to the priest and religious life in our diocese and throughout the world. Remember, most gracious Virgin Mary, never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. Thee we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despised in our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. Let me ask the fathers to join me in giving you a blessing. Father, this is good. You get a newly ordained blessing. This is even better than my 20-year-old blessing. And Father's, what, 35, 30-year-old blessing. Fathers, may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Okay, thanks. God bless.
Thank you.
Thanks, time for some questions.
Yes, we do.
I have a few minutes. Sure. A few questions. I didn't know if I'd have to run, but I do.
Maybe I'll take a few questions and then we'll take a little bit of break before our next session.
Sure. Any questions? Comments? Yeah.
So do you invite the people that you have going into vocations to come back and share their stories with your parents?
Yeah, I think personal testimonies are very powerful. We have one young woman who's she's a religious sister. She's in Minnesota with a brand new order of religious sisters, and she is preparing to go to Russia to become a missionary in Russia. So she comes back once a year to visit her family, and when she does, I have her speak after communion to give an update on what's happening with her order and the Russian apostolate. And so that's one way our parish gets to keep in touch with her. And some of the other ones, for example, Thelma, she has a son in Spain in the seminary. And it's great if he's able to come back. I'd love to have him, you know, say a few words at the end of Mass or give a talk to the youth group. So that is a good way to do that, try to get the any seminarians to give their testimony. Because nothing is more powerful than the testimony. St. Paul always talked about his conversion experience. St. Augustine wrote the Confessions, his conversion experience. Father Carapi, Scott Hahn, these powerful CDs are conversion experiences and testimonies. Yeah, Frank.
We have a Quo Vadis group here.
Yeah, we have a Quo Vadis group, and Father Wooten runs that. He does a great job with that.
How do you get membership up? Because we're a little lagging in our attendance.
I think among the altar boys especially, just personally inviting them, the ones that seem that they'd be open to that, just personal invitation and telling them about that. I'm sure Father can come up with some good ideas, too, on how to build up the Quo Vadis group.
Yeah. A good way to kind of encourage, to talk with the DRE director, like perhaps not always possible to go on a trip and say, yes, you go to the trip, you go. A good way to establish a proper relationship between the vocation promoter and the DRE. Good creative ways to communicate. What would you support that information?
Well, first introduce yourself to your youth minister. The youth minister may not know you, maybe they do. To your DRE. Just sit down and say, I'm here to help promote vocations. I'm sure the DRE will be supportive and helpful. I would imagine that they would want you to do that. So I think the big thing is to introduce yourselves and say what you have to offer, the materials, the supplies, the holy cards, maybe giving, ordering a few hundred holy cards of St. John Vianney or St. Maria Goretti and give them out going into the classrooms. You could even say maybe on a particular, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever religious ed is, could I just go into each classroom and give a holy card to the children and ask them to pray for vocations? Something as simple as that. You don't have to give a 30-minute or an hour talk to the kids, just a 5-minute talk in each classroom about vocations. That would be good. Okay, anybody else? Okay, thanks so much. God bless you all. Take care.